Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this first Sunday after Christmas prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, I do hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and it was great seeing photos on social media of family and friends, many of my parishioners on Christmas Day, kids with their gifts opened, families in front of trees, family around table. It was great. And I've noticed over this, the last couple days that the pictures on social media have changed. I love this time of year between Christmas and New Year when most of us are afforded some luxury of the opportunity to simply breathe and enjoy some leisure, to do some things outside of our routine. So the pictures have changed. We've seen pictures of folks at the zoo, seeing check-in at various restaurants, families gathering to watch football, and a lot of check-ins at movie theaters. A lot of families taking a picture before movie posters. This season, between Christmas and New Year, is known for movie going. And of course, you know what all the buzz is this year movie-wise, right? What's the big movie out there? Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. That's it. If you have seen it, please, I don't want to hear how it ends. I'm planning to take the boys. No spoilers. Wow, it's really hard to believe. Episode 9 of Star Wars. I could never imagine. When I was an elementary kid in the late 70s, I actually saw Star Wars 4 times in the movie theater. Never saw a movie 4 times in the movies, but as a kid, I saw Star Wars 4 times. And though 9 episodes over these decades, hard to believe. And though the sequence of Star Wars sometimes can be confusing, the first Star Wars is actually episode 4. You know, figuring out how that story is all pieced together sometimes can be a bit confusing. And of course, over the decades, the characters have changed. Some of our favorite characters have died. New heroes and heroines are born, etc. But despite all the change, over 9 Star Wars movies, one thing in this saga has not changed. And that's how every Star Wars movie begins. Doesn't matter what episode, it begins the same way. Silence. These words. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. And you know what comes next. Suddenly, the music, the intro to Star Wars, and then the prelude. Ascending sentences begin making their way up the screen. And in this prelude, it's so important. Matter of fact, I wish most movies began with like a Star Wars-type prelude because it sets the stage. It tells you who is who, what is what, what's happening right before the first scene you're about to immerse yourself in. It's so very informative. Every Star Wars movie, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then setting the stage for the story that you're about to immerse yourself within. Our passage today is the prelude to John's gospel. And it is a prelude that is so very similar to the familiar prelude we see before every Star Wars movie, including episode 9. This is John's Christmas story. And it is so different than the Christmas story we're most familiar with, the one we heard on Christmas Eve night, the beginning of Matthew's gospel and the beginning of Luke's. And John's, the beginning of his gospel, his telling of the Jesus story, his prelude. There's no mention of an angel visiting a teenage girl and informing her of her place in God's plan to save the world. In John's gospel, he's not concerned. He does not put pen to paper to talk about a conflicted fiance who needs to have his faith bolstered by an angelic visit via dream. No mention of shepherds visiting stables. No mention of magi following stars. No. John's vision of the beginning of the Jesus story is so much bigger. It's grander than all of that. When you read John chapter 1, you can, in your head, hear the score to the beginning of Star Wars. He begins this story as a cosmic story. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, this is how John begins his prelude. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Christ. And the Word, Logos, Christ, was with God. And the Word, Christ, was God. No away in the manger for John or little town of Bethlehem. The beginning of his Christ story begins with God before time and space as we know it. And just like the prelude of the Star Wars movie, John gives you everything you need to know before he tells his story of Christ. He tells you exactly who Jesus Christ is and what he has come to accomplish. And the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, one of the big questions in those Gospels is, who is this Jesus? And what is his relationship to the God of the universe? That's a constant question that punctuates those Gospels. But John minces no words in his "A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away" prelude. Jesus Christ is God of God. In Jesus Christ, God has become incarnate. He has become human, like you, like me. In light of this, make no mistake, mince no words, Jesus Christ is God come to us in flesh and bone. This message of John's grand and glorious cosmic prelude, I want to continue the challenge that Pastor Jennifer gave us last Sunday when she asked us during this season to reflect upon the incarnation and what it means that the God of the universe has become human like you and me. I'd like today on this Sunday after Christmas to continue this reflection. What does the incarnation mean? How does it help us understand God, relate to God more closely? Two fast-moving points today. Number one, because of the incarnation, God becomes human like you and me. This means God fully understands you and me and the challenges that we face in this life. God now fully understands what it means to be a human being in an often difficult world. I remember my first awkward initiation into the fraternity of grief. It was 1996. I was appointed my first church about 45 minutes east of Cincinnati in the country. Began July 1, and I remember it was an October Monday morning when I received a call at the parsonage to learn that one of my most prominent members, John Harden, he was a farmer, had a really big farm, that he died in the night, most likely a cardiac arrest. And Marion was with the family at home. This is the first time, I think I was 26 years old, and I just really didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to say. I had one loss in my life at that point, my grandfather when I was very, very young, but I knew as a pastor I had to go, and I had to offer some measure of comfort, though I knew nothing about grief. I remember shaking like a leaf, getting into my blue Mitsubishi to drive they were just about a quarter mile away from the parsonage, and pulling up to that white clapboard farmhouse and thinking to myself, what did they teach us in pastoral care I need to offer a word of comfort and the promise of resurrection and hope. And as I stepped into that Marion's living room, she was there, her kids, the grandkids. There were already some church folks who were already there. And I don't remember one word I said. I'm sure I said what I was supposed to say, what they give you to say. But what changed everything was when Lucille walked through the doors of Marion's house. And she immediately made her way to Marion. Lucille embraced her. Lucille had lost her husband 5 years before. And with tears in her eyes and her voice cracking, "Marion, I am so sorry, and I understand. I understand how you feel in this moment." She had walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And yes, after 5 years, was beginning to put together a life without her beloved. Friends, God understands you now completely. He understands me. God is not the God of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No, that's what this prelude sings. God has become flesh, and that changes everything. It changes the way that you pray. When you talk to this God, the triune God, talk about your pains and your disappointments, your fears, your doubts, all of it. God says to you, "My beloved, I understand. I understand because I've walked the same soil that you have walked." The incarnation, God becoming flesh and blood like you and me, we now are assured that God understands our story. And then secondly and finally this morning, the incarnation, God becomes human. This enables us to begin to answer one of the most perplexing questions that people have about God. Where is God in the midst of tragedy? Where is God, especially in the midst of human-initiated tragedy? Where is God? To illustrate how the incarnation answers where God is in the midst of tragic history, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Gunther Rottenberg wrote a powerful play in 1945. He was a German pastor. Germany, of course, was nearly annihilated, and the question on everyone's mind was, who was responsible for this? Who was responsible for all of this pain, this tragedy, this war that claimed millions of lives? So he wrote a play. And in the play, it begins with a group of refugee Germans walking down the road, and someone asks the question, who's to blame? Who's to blame for this defeat and this nightmare we're living through? Well, one said, of course, it's Hitler. It's Hitler who is responsible. And another one said, no, it's not Hitler. It was the industrialists. It was the munition manufacturers who funded Hitler. They're the ones that are ultimately responsible for this. Someone else said, no, the German people, we are responsible because we did not stand up to the Nazis. And then finally, one of the refugees whispered, you know who's to blame? God is to blame. Suddenly, chanting together, they began saying, God is to blame. God is to blame. God is to blame. The next scene, God is brought before a Nuremberg-type trial, a judge, who quickly pronounces him guilty. You are the one that created this. You are the one that created human beings. I find you guilty. And because of the depth of this crime, the crime of creation, I'm going to give you the worst sentence possible. With that, three archangels now appear on the stage to execute the sentence. The first archangel said, because of the crime of humanity, your crime, God, you're going to be born in an obscure part of the world. You're going to be born to a poor teenage mother. Your parentage will be under suspicion for your entire life. And you're going to be born a Jew in a Jew-hating world. The second archangel said, because of the crime of creation, you're going to walk the earth and you're going to be misunderstood. It's like you're going to be speaking a language that no one understands. Everything that you say will be misunderstood, misrepresented. Everything that you do won't be interpreted correctly. You will stand apart as completely strange, completely odd. And then the third archangel said, because of your crime, you are going, when you die, you're going to die the most painful way possible. You are going to be tortured before your execution. Pain will be your final experience. And with that, the three angels disappear, the house lights go down, and suddenly it dawns on you that God has already served this sentence. Incarnation, God becoming human like you and me, assures us that God does not remain comfortably aloof in a long time ago, galaxy far, far away space. God did not recuse himself from pain in the world that God created. Instead, when we experience natural or man-made tragedies in this world, we look for God at the points of our severest suffering. Look for the God standing next to the innocent in their suffering, saying, today you will be with me in paradise. The incarnation gives us the ability to answer the question where God is in the midst of suffering. The answer being, God is there in the midst of it all. God is there to do what God came to do in Jesus, to heal, to restore, to reconnect, and even resurrect. On this Sunday after Christmas, let us celebrate the greatest of the Christmas miracles. It's not the star. It's not the virgin birth. Those are great miracles. But the greatest of the Christmas miracles is the incarnation. The Word of God, the Logos, became flesh to dwell among us. And that means now that changes everything. God fully understands your story because he was human and God. Where is God in the midst of human tragedy? God is there to suffer, to abide, and ultimately, to redeem. Let us then continue now our Christmas rejoicing. Amen.